the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy Thursday, guys.
Happy Thursday.
Good morning, everyone.
I think she can say beautiful today. I didn't see if there were stars out, but all I know is not threatening terrible thunderstorms today. So that's that's a really good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. Hopefully everyone made through the storm without a whole lot of incidents. I mean, there may be a fallen tree, some twigs, but hopefully not a whole lot of damage, though there was some flooding in areas too.
I'm sorry
to see that.
Power outages and things like that. So
a lot of rain and wind with it. So let's be thankful that we're all still here, and we're going to open up our show as we always do with a prayer, today being the feast day of St. Stanislaus and also St. Gemma.
St. Gemma, that is my granddaughter's feast day. So we threw Gemma in there too. So I think that's neat. I also want to wish my grandson in heaven, Sean, or St. Sean, as we'd like to say, St. Sean of the Bayou. He's in heaven too. So happy birthday, Sean.
Got it in. That's all right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Stanislaus, your birth was a gift from heaven, and your life of virtue, courage, and charity was a gift to the Church of Poland. Please pray for us that we will never cower in the face of opposition, always preferring persecution over sin and a holy life over fear of death. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That's coming up at 10 after. You can find all of these events and so much more at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Dr. Mark Williams joins us. He's a superintendent of Catholic schools of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. He'll be updating us of what Catholic schools and the diocese are up to. It's always wonderful and great things, and a wonderful conversation with Dr. Williams. We look forward to it every time. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's a COO of Witness to Love. And every Thursday, we talk about marriage and family life. Stay tuned. You always have some wonderful insights from Dave and a wonderful conversation. And in 48 minutes, Robert Seeling joins us. He's the CEO of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. And today we are going to be kind of discussing, well, really discussing, what is the church's teaching on burying the dead, human remains, because you guys watch Shark Tank?
I haven't, but I know it's getting like, crazy out
sounds
there.
Sounds like a topic I think we ought to dig into.
He said it.
Damian.
Wow. Okay.
You know I'm anyway, something like that.
They had a business proposal on ways to dispose of human remains. We'll touch on that with Robert. He wrote the article kind of analyzing this.
Yeah.
And what the church says, it's good to touch on it again, you know, so looking forward to that conversation with Robert. Damian, looking forward to your weather report. How's it looking like today for us?
Well, today begins what looks to be a full week of great days ahead.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. There's going to be no rain in the forecast for the next 7 to 8 days. It looks really great to get outdoors, accomplish whatever it is you want to do. Heck, you may even want to jump into the swimming pool if you've got one.
Yeah.
And then for today, though, high is going to be 76, low 48. It will get chilly 48? In the evenings for a couple of days.
Okay.
Clouds are giving way to sunshine. Winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Temperatures in and around the area right now, 60 degrees in Covington, 62 in New Orleans. Houma Thibodaux, Gulfport, and Baton Rouge all reporting 61-degree temperatures. It's 5 after the hour on Wake Up. Don't go too far. We're coming back with some events.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of John chapter 3. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
The Apostle John in today's gospel is contrasting the earthly origin and ministry of John the Baptist with the heavenly origin and ministry of Jesus. Jesus speaks the words of God, possesses the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and commands the destiny of men and nations. It is precisely here that we are faced with our great challenge. Are we willing to abandon our favorite sins and evil attachments, and then boldly confess Jesus in our actions, and then, when needed, in our words? It is important to recognize that in our relationship with God, obedience is a synonym for love. Obedience is love in action. Obedience is also the driving force that makes our faith come alive. And therefore, John wrote, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him." This vital connection between faith and obedience and love and obedience forms a frequent biblical theme. For example, St. Paul frames his entire letter to the Romans with the expression, the obedience of faith. In his farewell address to the Ephesians, Paul declared, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole gospel of God." Notice, there's no hint here of picking and choosing what we find to our liking. When we do that, we are creating our own religion. Our faith in Christ requires many things: keeping the commandments, baptism, good works, repentance, perseverance, confession, taking up our cross and following Jesus. In short, all these actions demand a living faith worked out in love. Make no mistake, in heaven, love, obedience, is the only currency that has any value. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sakers.
Thank you, James and Father Chris, and thank you for tuning your heart to the truth. Yes, every time we say that, you may hear a little
enlightenment there.
That's right. We have plenty of sound effects here at Catholic Community Radio. It's almost 11 after the hour, 7:11, thinking about heaven, and we have some events you might want to think about as well. Building Blocks of Faith series is continuing, and it actually happens this Saturday, April 13th. Get your spouse, your favorite drink, a couple of chairs, and get ready for an evening of enlightenment and camaraderie with friends. The doors of the Cajun Corner, where it's located, on Opportunity Avenue at 6 o'clock. They'll open up at 7 o'clock. The talk begins. So bring your burning questions. Come prepared for an evening that promises to be more stimulating than your River Road morning coffee.
Wow.
Ah, yes.
That's stimulating.
Again, don't forget to bring a chair and your favorite spirit. And again, Cajun Corner, Opportunity Avenue. Doors open at 6. Talk begins at 7. More details at ccmedia.live.
All right. Tickets are now available at Women's New Life Clinic, Saved in Hope Dinner. That's going to be in Baton Rouge. The event's going to be May 8th at Drusilla Ballroom. That's with a patron party. It's going to begin at 6 p.m., and it's going to be followed by dinner at 7. This year's keynote speaker is Dr. John Brachowski. He's a pro-life gynecologist, founder of Divine Mercy Care, and author of two patients, my conversion from abortion to life-affirming medicine. And his story, y'all, is incredible. Go to the event just to hear Dr. John, if nothing else. He's an amazing, amazing man. There's going to be an open bar, silent auction. Tickets start at $80 a person, and sponsorships are still available. Once again, ccmedia.live for details.
There you go. Well, St. Isidore Catholic Church in North Baton Rouge is having a garage sale Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. and Sunday, April 28th from noon to 3. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information on that garage sale. And over at St. Aloysius Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, they will be having a jambalaya fundraiser in conjunction with their local Knights of Columbus chapter this Sunday, April 14th, after the 9 and 11 a.m. morning masses. For $10, you will get a plate of jambalaya, coleslaw, beans, and a roll. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Yes. Yeah, yummy, yummy for my tummy. St. George Marriage Enrichment Ministry is having Marriage as a Sacrament. You'll come and hear Terry and Leslie Ellis share their story. It's going to be Monday, April 22nd at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. As I said, it's at 6:30. It'll be in the chapel, light refreshments, and limited babysitting is available, and you need to go online and register, so we have that info for you at ccmedia.live.
All right. Then the movie The Shroud of Turin will be shown on the big screen at St. Anne Catholic Church in Metairie. That's on Transcontinental Drive. That's April 13th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, April 14th at 1 p.m. Tickets are only $5, and anyone under 18 is free.
There you go. Well, I know that summer is quickly approaching, and there is a retreat taking place that we want to give you plenty of heads up about. It's going to be at the Cenacle on the Lake in Metairie. It is a directed retreat taking place June 28th through July 3rd, sponsored by the Archdiocese of New Orleans Spiritual Center. The cost for the 6 days is $750 a person, and it includes all of your accommodation, meals, and a personal spiritual director. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
All right. Last but not least, the Shrine of Our Lady of Hope in Chattawa is having a ladies' book club meeting on May 7th. This is a monthly event that they have. This month, they have Father David Dawson as their speaker. His topic, Five Stones, Our Lady of Medjugorje's Path to Holiness. There's a continental breakfast, and the book club meeting begins at 9 o'clock, somewhat of a little morning retreat, so to speak. If you want more details, go to our website. It's 15 after the hour. We're coming back with more on this Thursday morning of Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 11th. Today we celebrate Saint Stanislaus. Those who denounce corruption in high places often paid for their integrity with their lives. That was the fate of today's saint. Born in Poland in 1030, Stanislaus was educated at home and abroad before being ordained. Appointed Bishop of Krakow at age 42, he devoted himself to clergy reform, preaching, and helping the poor. Stanislaus took firm stands against King Boleslaw's treatment of his subjects, as well as his immoral lifestyle. Initially, the king made a public show of penance, but he soon returned to his old ways. Stanislaus remained resolute in his denunciations, determined not to be taken in by the king's performance. Ultimately, Stanislaus excommunicated the king when he saw no evidence of real change. Enraged, King Boleslaus ordered his soldiers to kill the bishop. When they refused, the king killed Stanislaus with his own hands in the year 1079. Forced to leave his throne, Boleslaus reportedly spent the rest of his life at a Benedictine abbey in Hungary. Stanislaus is buried in the cathedral at Krakow. He was canonized in 1253. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's almost 19 after the hour on this Thursday morning, and welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and David Dawson. And we also want to thank our good friends at the Heavenly Donut for supplying us breakfast this morning here for our crew. And we truly appreciate it.
Yes,
with
indeed.
With us now who can indulge on those pastries from the Heavenly Donut is Dr. Mark Williams, Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the home of Thibodaux Diocese. But Doc, you probably got something better than that even at your place.
Well, I'll tell you, there were many days in my life that I would feast on lovely, just listening, lovely, delightful, baked goods like that. I think those days have passed me
by,
though.
Yeah, they're still here. They won't go away, though, from here.
We get them on a weekly occasion.
When you're looking at that, it's like, you know, we can't make this go to waste. Perhaps I have to have one.
Yes, I am with you. That's where donut holes come in. You can have one and at least get a taste.
Yeah, and then it's 72 after that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Doc, I'd like to pick up where we left off last time you and I spoke. And that was the relevance and the purpose of Bill 745, which is universal school choice. That is still being talked about in the legislature. It looks like it's getting close to fruition. Where are we at with that, especially for private schools?
Well, it's so far the House Bill 745, you know, went through committee, went through the floor of the House for debate, passed the House, and with no amendments, if I'm not mistaken, then, went over, passed through the Senate committee, and it hasn't completely passed the Senate yet. It passed the House roughly 71-25, 71-23, something like that. There's probably more back in the background debate, some negotiations and the like. But at the end of the day, you know, we're expecting the bill to pass. As far as our Catholic community, it does go hand in hand with our core beliefs from the Catechism, in terms of giving parents, education and formation of their children. So, you know, I recently had one of my colleagues, the public school superintendent here, who's actually a very good superintendent. Here in Lafourche, and we spoke about it briefly and he told me, why he was against it, not completely understand his position, but he asked my position and I said, well, look, this is a much, much bigger issue than a political issue for me, Mark Williams, because, I live, by the laws, and the rules here in my church. And of course, we believe that parents have the right to educate their children in the manner that they see fit. And at the end of the day, we're going to be supporters of House Bill 745 because it gives parents the opportunity to do just that. But, some of the issues that from what I understand are, should schools who are BSEE approved should be eligible for ESAs, and we can talk about more about that in a moment. It seems to be confusing to some. Should it be schools who are approved by BSEE and accredited? Because if accreditation is involved, that might eliminate some very small homeschool groups, perhaps.
Right.
So there's some issues there.
Is the dollar amount, have they pretty much solidified that based on family financial status? Because the range is anywhere from $5,100, almost $5,200 a year for a scholarship, up to $7,500, maybe a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. Then if you have a special ed student, it goes up to almost $15,000.
Yes.
Has all that been worked out as far as where the money's going to come from, and that's going to be a doable situation? Because this is called the Louisiana Gator Scholarship, right?
Yeah. Yep, Louisiana Gator Scholarship. That's correct.
Yeah.
It's so far, you know, $5,100, the base level, it doesn't matter what your income level is. If a parent applies, they could secure $5,100. Now, if the student is, if the family is at or below 250% of the federal poverty level,
mm-hmm.
they would be eligible for as much as $7,500. And then if the child has special needs, if a family has a child with special needs, that child would be eligible for much more, as you said, about $15,000 annually.
Doc, do you feel that there may be a lot of pushback? I'm surprised it passed through the House so quickly with a strong majority. I guess my question is, let's just say 10, 15, 20 years from now, if this is in place, what's to say the public school system becomes defunct?
Well, I think that's a huge macro question. I don't think that would happen. And the reason why is this: with the current capacity, the number of schools, and we actually have in the top 10 in the country in terms of number of students in Catholic education. We have between 70 and 80,000 kids in Louisiana, seven dioceses.
Yeah.
It's probably fifth or sixth in the country in terms of the number of students in Catholic education. But the number of kids that we could take in tomorrow, like if this would just pass tomorrow, okay, well, how many kids... how many kids could we actually add? And that differs by diocese. You know, we spoke to the governor's office, the superintendents, because they asked us. And so, like, for example, here in my diocese, here in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, I can fit about 11% more into our current buildings. Without stretching it, so that's not a lot. But there's other dioceses that we can fit, 20% more students.
So it really depends on where the individual lives, and again, it's still exactly. a process to even get your child in to a Catholic school. And depending on what diocese you live in, sometimes you're still on a waiting list. So I understand exactly. all that, but I believe that choice is going to be the key to allowing parents to give their child the best possible education. Unless we can figure out a way to make sure the public school system steps up their game, because I'm not knocking teachers. They have a tough job, to say the least, but we spend a lot of money annually per student in the public school system compared to the private school system. Now, I don't want to beat this horse to death. I'd like to change topics if we can.
Yeah.
And let's talk about teaching children to create, how you guys go about creating structure for their lives to absorb the graces of God, not only at school, but then passing it on to the parents so it can be lived after those kids get home from school.
Well, we talk about often about all the good things that we do in Catholic schools, but one of the biggest challenges that we have is what you just identified. How do we translate? How do we connect all the good work that we're doing, in the schoolhouse every day and putting in the structures, of prayer, of the sacraments, of great modeling, role modeling for the children? How do we put all of these practices in connection with the home and the parents? Because we have 50% of our families who are what we would call non-traditional families. It's not, even in Catholic schools, not a traditional mom and dad at home. Perhaps, grandparents have a role in the rearing of the child. It's about half.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
It's about half. And so, as a matter of fact, 20 to 25% of our children are not Catholic. in our schools.
Okay.
20% of our kids are not Catholic in our schools. So that gives us great opportunity to evangelize, great opportunity to bring these people closer to not only God, but also our faith and the teachings of our faith. But that is one thing that you're going to see a great focus in the next 10 years in Catholic education, is how can we leverage our schools to bring people to the parish on Sunday.
That's great.
Well, that's
how
wonderful.
Can we do that?
That's a good
yes.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the opportunity, you know, of the decade, you know, as we navigate all of this and, you know, ESAs and potentially adding more, you know, people into our schools. Well, then how can we leverage that to add more people into our parish and our parish ministries as well? We have to do a better job of that.
Amen.
Dr. Mark Williams, thank you so much, as always, for being with us. We'll chat again next month. In the meantime, keep up the good work in the Home of Thibodaux Diocese.
God bless all of you, and happy Feast of St. Stanislaus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. David Dawson Jr. is next on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. So glad you are joining us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is David Dawson Jr. He's the COO of Witness to Love. And on Thursdays, we talk about marriage and family life. Well, today's topic, we are going to be discussing the tendency to accumulate stuff and how to be good stewards of material things. Dave, but what if there's a sale? What do I do? Anyway, stuff. We could go on and on, you know, and it's now so easy to accumulate items. So tell us, how can we be good stewards of these things?
I know. We struggle with the same thing. I think it's a sense of, like, you know, when you're blessed and you have the capacity to get more stuff, it's just natural. We naturally are wired to be excited by newness, right? That's what, I mean, God is ever ancient, ever new. And so we're wired for God. Our heart is restless unless it rests in God, and he is always new. So we're made to be excited about new things. It's natural. It's a good thing. But when it's turned away from God, which, of course, for all of us, a large percentage of our hearts and minds are, then the newness is other things, you know, and so that we get used to those things pretty quick, and they become old things. I think what struck me was we had somebody gave us, you know, we've got a bunch of kids, and somebody gave us the clothes that their kids had grown out of, and it was so great. And my daughter was going through it just like it was Christmas Day, and you know, that happens every time. And we've got a lot of good family and friends, and they give us clothes, and we love it. Rarely do we ever buy clothes because of that. So we've got kids of every age, so they know it's going to fit somebody. So it's great, but it's that newness. And I think what we realize is I've got a closet. I mean, I'm a guy, and I've got a closet full of stuff that I don't wear because it's been out of fashion for like 15 years. And I kept wearing it for a while, and my wife finally convinced me to stop. But it's true.
Right. He's right.
Is it because you didn't look like a fashionista anymore, wore out?
It's a little of both. I think some of these things, if I were to still wear them today, it would be very hard to take me seriously. So I have to be professional.
You know, it's cool. So, when you hit a certain age, it's okay. After that, after a while, I can wear anything I want. And then he's like, oh, poor old guy.
Yeah,
he probably wore that in the... And it's true.
Know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're pointing at me. Yeah. Okay. I've seen some of the stuff you wear. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm stylish.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're good. No, but I think I realized, like, so then what do you do with that? I think that the step that is often missing is... to be able to, like, a lot of times it's relegated to these, like, organization freaks and these people who are going to come and coach you how to organize your house, and that's all fine and good. I think it's a little bit of a distraction, right? And this idea of, like, I'm going to get my life together. Okay, maybe. But I think more than that, there is a sense of stewardship. That, like, I've got a lot of stuff, and I use about 10% of it.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that is... In the same sense that I'm wasting water, I'm wasting electricity, wasting money. Like, there are people who could take advantage of this. And I think it sounds simple. We all know it. Mm. But rarely do we take the time to actually do anything about it unless we're in this, like, self-improvement kick, like organize my home kick. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's got the same motivation, right? Yeah. And so there's a need to regularly go through and say, okay, am I being a good steward of this stuff that's piling up in my house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go through phases where I have no mercy and I throw everything away. I don't think about it. I'm done. And then I go through other phases where I still have my like iPhone 8 phone case box that it came in. And I don't know why I still have that. And every time I see it, I'm like, I need to throw that away, but I don't throw it away. And then years go by and it's still there. But Dave, like, the love of things when you purchase them, something new, like a new pair of shoes or that, I mean, it feels good for a while and then that fades and then we move on with our life. Talk about that and accumulating all those things.
Right. It's like I said, there's a desire for newness, but there's also, I think, a desire that's never really fulfilled for like security that I've got what I need. And if I see something that I don't have that I think I might need, my tendency is to want to get it. And if I see something that I do have that I haven't used in years, but I'm like, yeah, but what if? Mm-hmm. That is, I think, a latent sense of self, like dependent on myself. There's a latent sense of greed, a latent sense of like, I need to make sure that I've got my life under control. Mm. And what it does is it's the same reason why, and I've been struck by this many times, same reason why Jesus said it's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's like a camel passing through the eye of the needle. And it's this sense of like, I've got it under control. And when that's happening, there's a very subconscious foundation level lack of understanding what it means to depend upon God at all. Right? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And there's been times where the times where we've lacked are the times when I'm dependent upon God the most and I'm more open to him. Right? And there's this less kind of frenzied sense of like making sure I've got every little piece in place because I never have it all in place. And so there's always a level of stress. Dave, I find that I'm less stressed when there's less stuff.
Yeah.
What about holding on to stuff only because your intentions are good, but then in the end, it doesn't matter? What I mean by that is I can remember we saved stuff that the kids had, our kids growing up. They're now 30 plus. Mm. And we said, we're going to hold on to this because when they have kids, we could give it to them. Yeah. And we've done that, and the kids will look at us like, what the heck is this?
Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, outside of a dollar
or
something
cards.
Like that.
There
was one toy that my grandson got excited about. It was called Battleship.
Yeah.
You remember
Battleship? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The big ship that moved, and he thought that was cool, and he started shooting his little sister with the missiles on it.
Oh, I was thinking of the game. Okay.
No. This is a real battleship he shot.
Oh, wow.
And some of us sometimes hold on to things because we, quote unquote, and this is a New Orleans thing for sure, that this is going to be worth a lot of money in the future. This is a collectible. I'm talking about my baseball cards, my doubloons collection. Right. Yeah. I got to get rid of that stuff. My wife is on my case right now about all that. I'm trying to defend it, but yet you're speaking the truth.
Okay, let me throw a twist in there though, because you do bring something up. What about memories? At the same time, because I got this dilemma too. I'm looking up, I'm hanging on to that because it's really old and it belongs to, you know, it goes on and on, but it's like, that's starting to accumulate too.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
I think there's a, that requires some discernment. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with connection to the past, and the church does that too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a sense of prudence and a sense of like, is I'm trying to hold on to something because I want it, right? Am I trying to hold on to this because it provides a sense of consolation?
Okay.
Am I trying to control my own happiness? It's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Because I know people, right, who everything is kept because it connects to so-and-so, and they've got a house full of memorabilia.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, is it good? Mm. Of course it's good, objectively speaking, but what it speaks to, I think, is a level of greed, even a greed of consolation.
Sure.
Agreed of memory, right?
Yeah.
To where can I let go and let God be the one?
Yeah, the memories are still there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I think so too. I think also circling back and teaching our children kind of how to purge things that we don't play with anymore or use things? Because, Dave, as you know, children go through phases so quickly with what they're interested in. It seems like it's every 3 months there's a different phase, especially this time of year, maybe going through the winter clothes and saying, okay, maybe someone else could use these, especially when things are kind of going up in price and so expensive. Toys. And stuff like that. I know there's like recall stuff and people are kind of weird with that. But look into that and seeing what doesn't work anymore and kind of like cleaning out the closet. We could go on and on about this topic, but where can people go to find out more information about what you do over at Witness to Love?
Sure. Yeah, witnesstolove.org. And we're actually revamping the site. Super excited about that. But the lots of awesome resources. They've been doing some incredible work. And for marriage and family, both pre-marriage, post-marriage, it's really good stuff. High-quality material.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. David Dawson, Jr., COO of Witness to Love. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know how you gave your kids Battleship? My mom gave me a stack of my old report cards I still have, and I think I just need to throw those away.
Really? You want to say
I don't
why?
Need them.
Yeah, no, you're right.
She kept them all, and I'm so grateful to look back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, that class was hard, but I don't need them. They don't determine my career or anything. Yeah. My third grade report
I threw
card
all
was.
My old report cards away. I didn't want any evidence.
It was.
appreciate it.
That was a fascinating topic, though. It's something we got to take a look at. I think.
It is. Yeah. Stay with us. It's 45 past the hour.
Past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And you know what? Before we go on, I want to congratulate a couple of folks. One is Dan Bornay, Deacon Dan Bornay. He has just been inducted into the Louisiana Politics Hall of Fame. And I saw the most incredible promotion video they had when they were inducting him into the Hall of Fame. And it was just fantastic. All the things that that guy has done in history. And then let's not forget, you're going to hear his voice in Tiger Stadium on Saturday nights. And he coined the phrase, chance of rain. Never.
Better than that. He's our guest speaker at Catholic Man Night.
That's what is even better. So the man, the legend, is going to be with us for Catholic Man Night.
Yeah,
so,
that's coming up later in the year.
Just an incredible. But what I love about that introductory video, y'all, is it goes on and on about all the governors that he served and the senators in Washington, and yet it ends with him in his diaconate and talking about what is the most important thing in his life. Beautiful, beautiful introduction. So congratulations, Deacon Dan Bornay. Yes. We're very excited for you. And you can come see him live in November at our Catholic Man Night event. We're very excited about. And then, speaking of politics, and I think this is great, another family member of Catholic Community Media, Vince Liberto, his son has just been elected to the student body, I mean, the president of the student body council of LSU.
Yes.
So how about that? So. Especially Vince, hey, you're a big Tulane guy, so I don't know how that happened, so congratulations all around to, I like to say, Catholic Community Media family members.
Yeah.
I think that is very nice. Really neat. We're going to be talking to a guest pretty soon. I believe we're working on getting him on the phone right now. Robert Selig, this topic is fascinating. I can't wait to talk about it. But anyway, if we're having difficulty getting a hold of him, but then this is live radio. The topic that we were going to talk about was funerals and how bizarre things have gotten, the way people are celebrating life, if you will, but they're doing very, very unusual things with the bodies.
Are they? And
yes. I mean, we're talking like...
Dave and I were talking about that before the show started. So one of
things
I've been
you can
seeing
do with
on
the body
TV
besides bury them or cremate
you
them?
You can put them...
Yes.
Yeah, you can like cremate the body, but also put the ashes in like jewelry, diamonds, trinkets, necklaces. A lot of people are doing that with their pets now. Putting like their cat in like a necklace so they carry them wherever they go.
Yeah.
It's interesting stuff, but it's also... So if you're Catholic, what does the church teach about all of that as well? People are finding creative ways to do that, which I It's very out of the box, but what does the church teach about it? What is appropriate with disposing or celebrating a life that once was, burying the dead, cremation? And that's what Robert was going to talk about. We'll have him on.
I can tell you.
Get him on. But isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I can tell you. I know the Catholic Church believes in the dignity of the human being.
Yes.
And the dignity of God's creation. And somehow we lose sight of that and we do silly things. I mean, we just do crazy things about it. I know the Catholic Church does believe, you know, of course, in the burial of the body, but then it also says, yes, cremation is fine too, but what are you going to do with the ashes? You know, scattering in all kind of crazy places and everything. That's what the Catholic Church frowns upon, that because, once again, it does away with the dignity of the human being
and
how we're created, you know.
Right.
I think that's beautiful. If we lose sight of what the Catholic Church believes and we lose sight of our faith and such, then things get kind of crazy. And I have seen some very, very unusual things out there as far as how funerals are held and what people do with the body.
Yeah.
Just strange.
Mm-hmm.
They estimate 3.4 million people in the United States are going to die this year. 2 million of them will be cremated. So that we're at a 60% or greater mark for cremation, and I'm glad to see the church allows that, because there was a time when that wasn't acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And there's a certain economical aspect of it, you know, and then there's a geographical room, you know what I mean, for things like that.
So what's your game plan? You going to go in the ground? You going to go in a mausoleum?
I am actually going in a mausoleum.
Cremated?
Yeah, not cremated though. Uh-huh. But I am going in a mausoleum, and it's in this.
Fancy.
My wife and I picked a special area and.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being built as we speak. They call it a condominium.
Be interested to see what
that
Gabby
is
thinks.
Something
she's
that we are still just that. Oh, diamond ring, of course. No, actually, my husband and I are still in discussion on it. You know, it is a serious discussion, but it's one that we don't like to have. But we are discussing it currently.
Sure.
Right now, we have parents on both sides telling us what they want, and it's quite depressing. But of course, you have to prepare. You know, but we're getting there. So, what about you, Damien? I'll let you know once we've decided.
It's
to
a topic my wife and I have touched on, but we haven't decided anything.
I think she wants to shoot him from a cannon, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. That was before you died. Yeah, she wants
to
shoot you.
Yes, that was my previous job in the circus, but since then I've gotten out of that.
Or did he say shoot you with a cannon?
But no, it's a topic that all families, spouses should discuss, and we have, but we just, the big question is where? You know, is it going to be Baton Rouge?
That's
is it going to be New Orleans? Is it going to be Lafayette area, where my wife is from?
Those
am I going to be in one spot? She's going to be in the other?
Mm-hmm. No,
she might prefer that. But
and honestly, you don't like talking about these things, guys.
No,
but when my wife and I realized, as we are, you know, getting older, and a lot of our friends and relatives and everything are passing away, when something is prearranged like that, it is so much easier on the family. You know, just to have it all prearranged.
And make it part of your estate plan.
It does, but at the same time, let's do look at what the Catholic faith, what the Catholic Church, and it's easily looked up and it's easily checked out, and the Catholic Church, just like I said, it believes in the dignity of God's creation.
That's the right word that you use, dignity. Mm-hmm. I was looking for that. Well, I posted this article by our Sunday Visitor on our Facebook page on the Wake Up Thursday video in the comments. You can take a look at that. But according to the article, surprisingly, in the United States, the most popular burial practice are traditional caskets, burials, and cremation, which account for 95% of human remain. It says human remains disposal, of course. Disposal is not the right word. I used that earlier. But like you said, the dignity of the human person is the correct phrase that I would have liked to use. But when it comes to that, I think that there's so much emotion that comes to it, but coming up with a plan, and we'll talk to Robert within the coming weeks to kind of go into this. And he is the CEO of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, so we will get a Catholic's perspective on this as well.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think we'll bury that topic and move on to the rest of our day.
How do we transition?
Saint Stanislaus is our saint of the day, so let's offer up a prayer for his intercession. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Saint Stanislaus, keep me from being too corny. Graciously Please. Intercede for us on our before God and defender of the opposed and patron of those in mortal danger. You always serve Jesus and his Immaculate Mother for the salvation of immortal souls, and you took pity on every misery. Please intercede for us today. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And I see a post here. Somebody says, go Rockachaws, Saint Stanislaus rocks.
So the rocks.
There you go.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah,
there you go. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have a great show for you tomorrow. We have a professor from Ave Maria University. We'll be talking about the pursuit of wisdom and Catholic bioethics. Nicole Jones with the Diocese of Baton Rouge will have an update for us, along with Terry Dixon with the Diocese of Biloxi. He'll be giving us an update of what they're up to in the diocese. And Carmel Acosta with St. Jude the Apostle will talk about an upcoming retreat they want you to know a little bit more about. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.